Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Hope you're having a great day today, and thanks for being with us here on Trumpet Radio. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon with you here today as well, and we've had more beautiful weather come our way. If you like sleeping with the windows open, you enjoy a cool breeze. It was like 50 degrees or mid-50s for a low last night. Tremendous weather. Tremendous sleeping weather.
That's a good idea. I haven't thought of doing that in quite a while. I'll have to try to do that again. Get some fresh air in the house.
Yeah, and then I get to listen to all the animals in the neighborhood have a party. Barking, yelling. Something's happening out there, and I don't know what it is, but it sounds serious.
They get their real business in whenever we're asleep.
That's right. That's where the party begins. A lot to talk about in today's program. The Trumpet.com headline today, the top story, is Burning Man and Hurricane Harvey, two big stories. Thousands flocked the Nevada desert for the annual hedonistic counterculture festival known as Burning Man, even as torrential rains flood the streets of Houston. That's by Jack Wood. That's the top story at thetrumpet.com today. I saw the other day that somebody at the Burning Man Festival ran into the fire at the end and became the literal Burning Man, and he died.
Wow.
So I guess people do all sorts of things out there.
I just wonder how many God-fearing people would actually go to an event like that. Probably zero, maybe one who's been misguided. I don't really know, but it just seems like it's not something that you'd want to get into, especially when people are dying at the event, and it's just pretty much an all-out sodomite event there.
It's pretty pretty intense from what I understand about it, just from some of the headlines. So, yeah, you'd have to stop and look at some of the things people are involved in and then look at some of these major national problems that are happening. And, you know, I think the natural question is there a relation to that? I know that's not something most people want to think about, but it is worth considering. I mean, I think most people would do that, I think, in their own lives. I don't know, if you're living a certain way and then you're having a lot of problems, you think you'd kind of look at it and say, you know, something's not right here. But I don't know. People just keep going on with their ways until, I guess, they're forced to really look at what they're doing and evaluate it.
I think on an individual level, it is actually easier to consider what we might have done to cause some bad things to happen in life. You know, if you do drugs or something like that, you're probably going to fail the test that morning. You know, there's a lot of examples where, yeah, there's a cause and an effect here, and clearly I did something to allow me to fail in this area. But then when we think of it as a huge group of people and how everyone could be affected by a sin, people just are not as willing to look into that.
You don't hear a lot of stories about what happened, say, after some of these festivals. Did people get illnesses of some kind, infections? Did they, you know, what did they get into? A lot of problems there. There was some festival they have in the UK a couple of weeks ago. I'm not familiar with it. I just saw the headline, and it's some sort of debauchery, and somebody died, and the police had to come and take the person out of there. And so anytime there's a death, people start looking a little more closely at what's going on. But really some bizarre things. So that's the top story at thetrumpet.com today, Burning Man and Hurricane Harvey. And, of course, we've got another hurricane bearing down on us. Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host Stephen Fleury today talks somewhat about that. Hurricane Irma, watch, it's on. It's a Category 5 monster, 185-mile-an-hour plus winds, I guess. And some of the headlines today about it, landfall in Caribbean islands. They had those strong winds come through there, caused a lot of problems. There's some video online if you want to see it. Major damage, flattens buildings, devastation, strongest Atlantic hurricane ever, as far as what we have record of. More powerful than 8 major storms of year combined. It's showing up on seismometers. Breaks weather station. They always have the weather stations to measure things. You know it's serious if it breaks the weather station. Pentagon diverts warships for storm relief. That's an interesting angle on it. You know, we're not at war right now, obviously, not in terms of a large-scale conflict, but what if we were? You got these storms hitting. Line wraps around store as Floridians seek supplies. Empty shelves everywhere. Amazon faces complaints of price gouging. Evacuations ordered. National Guard activated. Virgin Islands seizes guns and ammo. Will storm hit eastern Tennessee? Some of the stories today, as people prepare for this, what could be a catastrophic storm.
Isn't that supposed to hit this weekend, Friday or Saturday?
It is, yeah. The latest model I saw was late Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
Okay.
I don't know if that's still on track or not. That it adjusts a little bit, it seems like, every day. But, yeah, and they don't know exactly where it's going to go. So it's going to be a really interesting weekend to see what happens with that. I was wondering about Category 5 storms. They're huge, of course. Two of the most recent ones, Hurricane Mitch was a Category 5. That was in October 22nd to November 5th, 1998. That had 180-mile-per-hour winds, hit Central America, Yucatan Peninsula, and South Florida. It cost $6.2 billion in damage, and it killed 11,000 people, which is a lot. I was surprised it was that many. It must have been down in Central America more. And then, of course, Katrina, August 23rd through the 30th. That was in 2005. That was a Category 5, 175-mile-per-hour winds. And it hit Bahamas, United States Gulf Coast, of course, New Orleans, down that area. $108 billion in damage. It killed 1,836 people. So that's historically what's happened recently. This one is the biggest one ever in the Atlantic. So I guess it kind of depends on if it stays big and where it hits.
I don't know if you've noticed this as well, but it seems like, I don't know if you could say there's a little bit more hope coming before this one than there was before Harvey, just because it's uncertain how much of the land it's going to hit. And it seems like some people speculate it could stay more in the ocean and less on the land. So even though it's a higher category of hurricane, this latest one might not cause as much damage. It's still obviously a horrible situation, and you just can't be sure. So maybe even that is kind of worse, to not know if your town is going to be wiped out and whether you should evacuate.
Well, coming right on the heels of Harvey, I think people are saying, let's get out of here. We don't want to be stuck in a bad situation. So it'll be really interesting to see where it goes, what it does. It's going to do a lot of damage if it hits land. Hopefully people won't be there. I saw a story last night in the news where people were getting out of the Florida Keys, and there's only one road in and out of there, so people are getting out now for the most part. And I think they said the Florida Keys is only a few feet above sea level. And so with the storm surge, they're going to get buried. And so people are evacuating. And if they live in those areas, I think they're used to, you know, the threat of a hurricane from time to time. But it's interesting. You see the different models of where it could go. Some models show it hitting Florida and then just going straight north, like covering the entire state. Other models show it maybe slipping into the Gulf or going up the eastern seaboard. It's going to be really interesting. I don't know that it's got the same sort of rain potential that Harvey had. Mm-hmm. I guess it sort of depends on what it does. But the winds, what's the strongest wind you think you've ever been in?
Oh, probably like 60 or 70 maybe. And that was extremely rare. It didn't come close to knocking me over or anything. So yeah. I could never understand a wind that could literally just take you away.
185 miles an hour. It's just unbelievable. And, you know, we have a lot of tornadoes here in Oklahoma, and they can be quite strong, obviously, but they're so limited in their size. And these hurricanes, I mean, you see them from space. It looks like an evil eye staring at you from the ocean.
It looks like the Milky Way galaxy just on Earth all of a sudden, just the formation of it and the kind of like the hazy white that it is. So clearly something that people don't want to be involved with, but it's coming, so hopefully people are preparing for it. Do you know what the death count is for Harvey now? Is it up to like 100 yet?
Boy, it seems like it's changing every day. I think the last I heard it was going up above 60s and still rising. So maybe there's new info on that. You know, they're going back and they're finding the aftermath of the flood. And so I think they're finding more people. I saw a story, it was even yesterday, I think, where people were stealing stuff out of a home and there's a dead person in there. That had drowned, and then people were stealing out of the house. So,
wow.
Well, those things kind of hit the headlines, unfortunately. And so I don't know. I think it probably will take a while to find the death count on that. But it's interesting. It seems like that particular storm, you know, obviously the crazy thing about Harvey was the rain, to just sit there and dump a year's worth of rain in a couple of days. It was strong when it came ashore, but not like this other one. So it's just interesting. It's kind of like pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
You want the really strong winds, you want a bunch of rain. You know, it's devastating either which way that you slice it, I think.
That's right, because this one, this next hurricane would have to make much more of an impact on land and actually directly hit things more instead of just relying on the rain. So hopefully it doesn't go as much toward land. Like with Harvey, it seemed like it was just a certainty it was going to wipe out all of those towns near the Gulf. This one, it doesn't seem like people are so sure of where it's going or how much it's going to destroy. Hopefully it's not as bad as Harvey, but it wouldn't be surprising if it were even worse somehow, too, just because of those winds.
Yeah, it's really a lifesaver that we know a week out that it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously, if you look back historically, some of the bigger hurricanes, as far as death count, I'm sure people didn't know. You know, you're just there, and all of a sudden, here's a hurricane. So people know a week out now, and they have a place to, they can get out of there. But again, that, you know, we start talking about money. Where do you go? How long do you stay there? Can you come back? Do you have to stay someplace for a long time? Can you afford to do it? Do you have some place to go? The economic impact of things really does add up for people. So it'll be interesting to see. There's a lot about that on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today and a lot of other topics as well, but that's one of the big stories there, that Hurricane Irma that's coming, Category 5. So going to be quite the interesting weekend. Here's a story that's interesting. It kind of ties into what we're talking about a little bit later with communism in the United States. And one of the ways, of course, that communism works is to try to get rid of religion. And here's a new survey. White Christians are now a minority of U.S. population. The share of Americans who identify as white and Christian has dropped below 50%. It's so funny that you can identify as white.
Right.
I am white, therefore I identify as it. It's a transformation, they say, fueled by immigration and by growing numbers of people who reject organized religion altogether, which, of course, like the UK, we talked about yesterday, less than, 30%.
Yeah, I think 30. It used to be around 50, and it had dropped to about 30 or so.
So they're especially depending on the age range there. So, but this is a new survey that was released today and Wednesday. Again, the U.S. In the U.S., white Christians are now a minority of the U.S. population. Christians overall remain a large majority in the U.S., nearly 70% of Americans. However, white Christians, once predominant in the country's religious life, now comprise only 43% of the population, according to the Public Religion Research Institute. And so that's 4 decades ago when they looked at it, about 8 in 10 Americans were white Christians. So immigration's had a huge change there, and then people just kind of given up on religion.
Well, 8 in 10 Americans used to be white Christians. Now it's not even 8 in 10 whites anymore. I think it's like maybe 7 in 10. I think it's less than that who are even white in the first place. And so 50% of the total, but then like I think it's 66% or so who are whites in this country, and then I guess most of them are still Christians, but still you have a lot of people turning away from that, whites and otherwise, and that's just obviously it's an alarming trend that we talked about yesterday for a bit, just how if you can't have a common identity and a common set of beliefs, you can't really have a united nation either.
Right. Yeah. There's not a lot of unity, and when you have different ideas, especially very, very deep held, and very fundamental ideas, it's hard to say, well, we agree to disagree. Carry on. You know, it does start to fracture.
Yeah,
groups.
It's quite a bit different from, you know, conducting different science experiments and coming to a different conclusion, or you know, having a different belief on English literature. We're talking about religions, like something foundational. You can have different beliefs in other areas, but when it comes to religion and the foundation of all life, that it's probably important for a nation to have a consensus on that.
Yeah, interesting statistic there. Also today, make sure you listen for the Trumpet Hour Week in Review, or not the Week in Review, that's on Friday. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's only Wednesday. Just wow. Relax, Dwight. It's only Wednesday. The Trumpet Hour program, the Wednesday edition. That's coming up here today on KPCG as well. Of course, Trumpet columnists take a look at some of the stories going on in different regions of the world, so make sure you listen for that as well. And then, of course, on Friday, you get the Week in Review program, something to look forward to. Wednesday is the hump day, right? It's in the middle. I was already wanting to slide into the weekend. I got ahead of myself.
I already feel like this week is going by fast because Monday was a day off, so you're even farther ahead than that.
It's true. You throw any sort of change in the schedule and it does throw you off because mm-hmm. not working Monday, yeah, I do have to keep reminding myself, what day is it today? I feel like I didn't I'm not quite where I should be in the week, but it does change things a bit. One note here of historical interest, potentially, sort of I guess humorous, unusual, we'll say that. On this day in 1651, King Charles II of England spends an entire day hiding in an oak tree during his escape after losing the Battle of Worcester.
Mm.
So that was he was at the head of a mainly Scottish army in that battle. He was attempting to regain the throne that had been lost when his father, Charles I, was executed. And support for the king was strongest in Scotland, and the royalist commander, David Leslie, had gathered an army of some 14,000 Scotsmen to fight the cause. So they marched south through England, and the Scottish royalist army were perceived as an invading foreign force and consequently failed to gather the support expected. So by the time they reached Worcester, they were simply overwhelmed by the 28,000-strong new model army of Oliver Cromwell. So the battle destroyed any lasting hopes the royalists may have had of regaining power by the use of military force. Charles escaped into exile in France, and the long and bitter civil war in England was finally over. And that's an interesting way, as a king, or you want to be the king, I guess, you lose a battle, you hide in a tree for an entire day.
Yeah, he definitely had a noble cause to try to take vengeance for his father. And I think Oliver Cromwell was a big part of deposing the dynasty, at least temporarily. He was trying to overthrow the kingship and establish a tyranny under himself. I can understand why they'd want to fight back against that, but obviously it didn't go so well. Hopefully hiding in the tree saved him. I don't know if it actually ended up working out for him.
Yeah, I wish I knew a little bit more. I should have looked that up. Like, hiding in the tree, was it hollow? Did he crawl into it, or was he just like up in the branches? See, that's what I'm not sure on what that means. I want to envision him hiding inside of it somehow, like crawling down into it, and I think that's what they mean. But I just thought, wow, you know, you have this whole day after this very emotional time and this battle, and you have time to really just think, like, ah, here I am. I should be ruling, but I'm in a tree. It would really put things in perspective.
Yeah, really talk about a time of reflection there to be stuck in a tree. You can't get out even if you wanted to just because of the situation outside. It's just a pretty dangerous idea, dangerous time.
He was thinking to himself, I wonder who would save me. Just thinking of puns when he's in the tree.
He had gone out on a limb there,
yeah.
even going into war.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of those that he could
come up
with. I mean,
we could just make all the listeners cringe for a while.
Yes.
Those.
People could say that in the battle he was barking up the wrong tree. if you want to send more, you can. You can send those to us at comments@kpcg.fm. We'll be happy to look at those. And if they're good, we'll read them. Even if they're not, we might. So you can do that. Also, you can follow us on Twitter if you'd like to, @kpcgfm. We did that just spontaneously there, but that was sort of like an honorary thing for your dad, Grant. He really enjoys the wordplay. So maybe he'll chime in with a few.
Remember when you read that study about how people who enjoy puns kind of have something mentally going on?
They have a mental illness, they said. Yeah.
You said you were offended by it. I relay that stat to my dad, and he was really offended too. He thought he was being witty and using his mind extra, but then apparently people think that that's a mental disability.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe what they meant was, if you like can't control yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure, probably, you know.
Probably understandable. I've seen a couple people like that where it's almost like a compulsion. Like they wish they weren't saying it, but they have to. It's
right.
Like they're fulfilling an obligation to say some more puns.
Right. Yeah, you have to put a governor on that, as it were. I had a job I used to have years ago. If somebody said something they probably shouldn't have, the common thing people would say is the seals didn't work. they broke. They gave away. They didn't hold tight. Seals didn't work on that one. Something came out that shouldn't have been said. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com, too. Lots of places you can listen. One of the things we want to talk about now is this really interesting booklet that's free at thetrumpet.com. The title is He Was Right, and it talks about Herbert W. Armstrong on lots of the forecasts that he made over the years, and it's interesting to look at them because you can see the forecasts he made 70 years ago or more, and then see where we are today. So it's just really interesting to see, okay, well, did these forecasts come about, or are they in the process of it? And as you can guess by the title, he was right. He was right. They are coming to pass. And the one we want to take a look at today in particular is communism in the United States. Lots of talk about Russian collusion today. What about communism in the United States? Has it infiltrated the United States? It has, in a lot of ways.
That's true. And the irony there is that the people accusing the Trump administration of collusion are very much a part of the communist infiltration themselves. All of a sudden, they're acting like Russia's a problem when for decades now, the media and the left in this country has been infiltrated by communism.
Yeah, and we're going to, I think that's going to be shown pretty clearly here by just a few recent stories we have in relation to this. This write-up here in He Was Right says, as Hitler's forces rampaged across Europe during World War II, the world's greatest capitalist nation, America, entered into a strange alliance with Britain, the greatest colonial power, and the Soviet Union, the greatest communist state. And when this happened, a peculiar phenomenon occurred across America. A popular wave of emotional fervor for the Soviet Union surged. Many influential men, magazines, and newspapers began fawning over Joseph Stalin. President Franklin Roosevelt went so far as to release Communist Party USA leader Earl Browder from prison as a means to promote national unity between American communists and the general public. You don't want unity between communists because they will make unity. They'll take over. It says, during this time of trial and confusion, however, the strong voice of Herbert W. Armstrong warned the nation that both fascism and communism presented a threat to the American way of life. So it's giving some really good historical background here and then makes the point that America's rejection of God would allow communism to weaken the country to a degree that would make it susceptible to invasion. And, I mean, that really falls right in line with that article we read earlier about how, you know, the white Christian community in the U.S. is less than 50% now. And as we'll see as we go through some statistics, I mean, people's ideas about God, religion, morality has totally changed, totally, and gone very much in the thinking of the communist way, the communist model, which is the destruction of religion.
Right, and the thing with that, too, is just that, well, we can't seem to focus on more than one enemy at the same time. Mr. Armstrong wrote about that. Yes, Hitler was a big problem. He was a huge threat, and maybe it was a good idea at the time to have an alliance with the Soviet Union, but at the same time, we should have been able to see the threat that they posed as well. We should have understood that eventually there's going to be a problem with them, and we need to be alert to any sort of means they could use to break down America. I guess we just weren't expecting so many extra military means, so many ways of attacking this country that had nothing to do with military arms. But if we had been really diligent, instead of falling head over heels in love with them, as this history shows, then maybe we could have prevented a lot of this infiltration.
Yeah, there is a real fascination with communist thinking. Of course, they don't call it communism, but there is a real fascination with that thinking in the media and in the educational systems in the U.S. I was reading a book recently talking about how liberal the media is. It wasn't specifically about that, but there was a section about that. And you remember that there's an author, I can't think of his name, but he wrote the book, I think, Freakonomics, where he had all sorts of interesting stats and formulas. Well, he worked with some people, and they came up with sort of a liberal conservative formula to figure out where you sit in that range. And of course, it's 0 to 100. So for the liberals, if you're at a 0, I guess you'd be conservative. If you're up at 100, you're like the uber liberal. And so they gave some examples. They said Nancy Pelosi on their scale came in at 100. Mm. President Obama came in at 88.
Wow.
And then other people, you know, sat in their different places. They were just giving you some big names to kind of show you the scale. They were talking about the media, and they said most journalists are in the 90s.
Wow.
But the organizations they work for would probably come in about mid-60s. So you have, and that's different today even, but you had a lot of journalists that were about as uber-liberal as you could be And the organizations maybe would tamp it down a little bit, but you're still getting a very liberal message. What does that have to do with communism? Well, if you look at what a lot of the liberal message is, it's pretty much anti-God, anti-religion, anti-societal norms. It is very much influenced by the communist thinking.
And one thing that's commonly talked about today is socialism. That is a term that is proudly thrown around. People proudly say that they supported Bernie Sanders, even though as recently as maybe 10 years ago, we would have never allowed a socialist to come so close to the presidency. And yet, what is socialism? Really, it has an economic focus of redistributing wealth. It's basically the economic arm of communism. It's like the first step, as this chapter brings out, in fulfilling the entire communist plan, which is ultimately the destruction of America and every other capitalist state.
Right, and that's probably the good way to think about it. The goal there is destruction of capitalism, and democracy is a big part of that capitalist system. So Mr. Armstrong has a really great quote here we wanted to kind of break apart a little bit, and I think it just gives a great way to look at how communism is infiltrating the U.S. He says, and this is back in the 50s he said this, what we fail to grasp in the struggle with Russia is this. We are not fighting a single nation in a military war, but a gigantic worldwide plainclothes army masquerading as a political party seeking to conquer the world with an entirely new kind of warfare. This was 1956, he said this. It's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to, and here's where he lists what we can expect to see happen, weaken us from within, sap our strength, pervert our morals, sabotage our educational system, wreck our social structure, destroy our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after all that, the violent overthrow of government. Have we seen those things? Just stop and think about that list. Have we seen those things? Do we see those things happening in the U.S. today?
Yeah, Mr. Armstrong also wrote about a four-step plan of the communists where they want to demoralize the people, and that involves the educational process, getting these ideas widely accepted by putting them into educational institutions. Then you destabilize the people, which we're seeing. We're actually in that step right now because that's why there are so many riots going on all over the country. The country is being destabilized, and soon it's going to be a full-blown crisis, which is the third point, and then normalization where the communists take over the entire country. So it's a clear formula that they have. They have different ideas for attacking all aspects of society, and they're in the second point right now, about to be the third point of their four-point plan. If we get to the fourth point, this nation is completely finished.
Yeah, and that's the reality. I mean, people could say, well, that sounds a little far-fetched. Well, take a look at your headlines. I mean, think of the point here, weaken from within, division. This is from the Wall Street Journal today. Political divisions in the U.S. are widening, long-lasting, this poll shows. Divisions in America reach far beyond Washington into the nation's culture, economy, and social fabric. And, I mean, it's like it's right out of the communist handbook. And the polarization began long before President Trump. This is according to a new Wall Street Journal NBC News survey of social trends. The wide gulf is visible in an array of issues and attitudes, and it breaks down between your Democrat and your Republican, liberal, conservative. Democrats are twice as likely to say they never go to church as are Republicans, and they are eight times as likely to favor action on climate change, because that is the religion, actually, in a lot of ways, or social change. One-third of Republicans say they support the NRA, while just 4% of Democrats do. More than three-quarters of Democrats, but less than one-third of Republicans, said they felt comfortable with societal changes that have made the U.S. more diverse. Now, a substantial majority of 64% view immigration as strengthening our country. 28% say it weakens the U.S., but this is because of what's happened in the Democratic Party. In 2005, just 45% of Democrats said the country was strengthened by immigration. Now it's 81%. And I think that's sort of a too general of a statement, too. Strengthened by immigration. Yes, legal immigration, sure. Not illegal immigration. But you can just see the divisions are getting wider, and it's getting more liberal.
That's true. And Mr. Armstrong wrote about how a house divided against itself cannot stand. Mr. Gerald Fleury has written about that as well. Basically, at this point, we have communism on the one side and then, I guess, traditional American values on the other. And people are having a hard time choosing between the two. They're trying to say that maybe American values can be strengthened by communist ideals, and maybe we can have a mixture of the two, or maybe communism is better. Maybe we should overthrow the system. There are a lot of angry people who just want to overthrow the entire system. So we have these two ideas competing, and we can see that the shift is more and more toward communism all the time. That's a big problem. That's a huge cause of division, and that division could be deadly.
Yeah, one last piece here, or apart from this Wall Street Journal write-up about the divisions in the U.S., it says Democrats also are now more inclined to see globalization as beneficial compared to 20 years ago. You think about globalization, and I mean, it is an intertwined world. Isolationism is probably not the best policy, but you have to be careful on what you're allowing into your country. If you look at the majority of the world's populations, they're not democratic. So what do we expect to happen if you globalize? They're all going to take on democracy and capitalism, or are they going to enforce communism on you? I would tend to think that the communism would win out. They just have more people, more numbers.
Well, that's right. There's obviously a big issue with importing even like the third world. We're trying to import a lot of immigrants who are in abject poverty and could not support themselves when they get here. I mean, there's something to be said for compassion for sure, but whenever you just allow people to come in, and many of them illegally from third world countries, if you think about it, those people did not care enough about their own country to make that country great. And so how are they going to care about a country they came into illegally and are basically going to pillage for the benefits? It's not going to benefit anybody except for those people who were coming illegally. Everyone else suffers. The low-skill laborers in this country suffer big time. I guess maybe some business owners might benefit from low-wage workers. But basically, when you're importing a culture that doesn't even care about its own country enough to save it, how is that going to fare for America?
There's a story. It's making the rounds today. It was on the news last night about this because DACA got rid of it, I guess. The deferred action. I forget what it all is.
Deferred action for children. Child arrivals?
Something. We know what it means. They were born in the U.S. or they came here when they were young illegally, but they've been here a long time. So the media, of course, has a firestorm about it. And from what I understand, even the fact that, well, first of all, it was brought up illegally. It didn't pass any. There was no legal way that law or whatever it is came into place. It was just by the will and the pen and the phone. And now it's there. So they're getting rid of it in the same way. From what I understand, it doesn't necessarily mean any major change immediately. People still have a chance to, I think, do a few things if they'd like to. But again, there's a lot of debate there. But so anyway, the media went out, they rushed out, and they found an example of somebody that was here. He's a dreamer, I guess, was a dreamer, as they call them. And he tried to save somebody during the Houston flood. And I think maybe he did, and he died doing it. The whole story was a little sketchy. Like, I didn't quite understand what exactly happened. And so they're using that to say, you know, they shouldn't get rid of that illegal bill or law or whatever it is because this guy tried to save somebody in Houston. Now, that's fine. That's nice that he did that. But it was just amazing how the media jumped all over. They looked for one good example. You could find one good example in any situation. But it doesn't change the fact of law and legality. You could also find bad situations. There's plenty of those, too. And it was interesting because they interviewed this guy's mom. And, you know, you feel for the family. He died, and it's a tragedy in that way. But she was saying, now he's going to heaven, and God doesn't have borders. And I thought, actually, he does. Read the Bible. He's the one that established the borders for where the nation should go. There's laws about Israel and foreigners coming in. But the media say, oh, yeah, no borders in heaven. God has no borders. He doesn't. Really? Does anybody stop to even look at what the Bible says? That statement just blew me away. I said, well, yeah, that's not exactly. Well, it's completely false. Completely false, yet they just said it on the media and then just moved on to the next story. And it just highlights that they have an agenda and they're going to spin it any which way they want to.
God's stance on borders would infuriate those people if they actually took 5 minutes to look into it. Just just the amount of it. I mean, people could look into that for themselves, but clearly he's in favor of borders that are 100 times more strict than the ones we have in America today. So would they be calling God a racist because of his border stance? Clearly they have some logical flaws on the left, because that's really all they can do, is they focus on a couple emotional examples. They ignore the fact that the vast majority of illegal immigration is detrimental to the country. You have to be able to look at the facts and take the emotion out of it. There is a place for compassion, of course, but it's not enough to have one or two good examples in a whole crowd of people and then say, well, because of these one or two good examples, the whole crowd can stay. That just never will work out logically.
Well, and too, like you said, it's just emotion. It's not the law. I mean, what if somebody broke into your house, but then they cleaned it?
Exactly.
Is that okay now? Because they did something nice once they got there? I mean, you could make up all kinds of stories about that. But that's a really interesting point you bring out about the emotion, and just laws cast to the side, and it's just about emotional decisions. Fox News has this today. Charlottesville Council votes to remove Stonewall Jackson statue. They're getting rid of it. Last month, the council voted to shroud the statue. And that vote came at the end of an hours-long meeting packed with irate residents who screamed and cursed at council members over the city's response to the August 12th rally that turned violent. And so now, with all that pressure, they said, well, let's just get rid of the statue. So is this now how courts make decisions? If a crowd shows up, and as this article says, they're irate and they're cursing you, that determines the law now? See, it's all emotional, and it's all what is it doing? Well, it's exactly what Mr. Armstrong talked about with communism. It's weakening us from within. Law doesn't matter anymore. The law of the U.S. doesn't matter. We're going to go in and yell at you and cry, and the media is going to, you know, keep it going, and we're going to force you to make changes just because of the emotional outcry. We're in a pretty bad spot if the law of the land is shifted and moved based upon who's yelling the loudest or who's causing the most trouble. We've seen that happen in other nations. And again, it's not like these people randomly show up and happen to be at the same location to yell and curse. Somebody's putting them up to it.
That's true. And there was a KGB defector in the 70s, and this chapter, and he was right, brings this out. He actually warned America about racist politics, and how racist politics are a huge part of the communist ideal, dividing people into small groups and turning them against each other. Those Confederate statues and that whole issue has everything to do with race. They're trying to exploit racial divides and cause people to riot and scream and curse at each other and try to kill each other. And it's all about race, the color of your skin, something you can do nothing about. It's one of the most shallow differences that people could have between themselves, and yet you see it being exploited in racist politics today. It's a communist tactic. It's absolutely communist to talk about police brutality or to pretend like illegal immigration is great and that anyone who is against it is just a blanket statement, he's a racist. That's racist politics. They're trying to turn people against each other, and yet so many people, millions and millions of people, are willing to go along with that.
Great. They're having great success, and we can see division within the U.S. for sure, growing and growing and growing. Another thing Mr. Armstrong mentioned here that the communists want to do to infiltrate America is pervert the morals of the country. Here's a recent survey from Gallup polls. Americans hold record liberal views on most moral issues. And again, this is another example of, I think, just straight-up bullying by the media. I think in a lot of these situations, people would not hold the view that they do, except they know that that's the accepted view, and they're being bullied. This is a percentage of people that think these different activities are fine. 73% of Americans think that divorce is okay. 69% think, and again, also just with communism, they want to destroy the social fabric and the families and that, so keep that in mind. 73% think divorce is fine. 69% think that sex between unmarried man and woman is fine. 63% think gay or lesbian relations are fine. 62% think having a baby outside of marriage is fine. 61% want human embryo stem cell research. 57% want doctor-assisted suicide. 57% don't want people wearing animals fur. So it's kind of, I don't know if that's that big of a deal, but that's one that's out there. 43% think that abortion's okay. So that one's still a little tough for some people. 36% see no problem with sex between teenagers. 36% think pornography is fine. That number is, you know, that's not right. That number's got to be a lot higher than that.
Yeah. Most people are, they might be ashamed of it, but they still use it, or they still don't see much of a problem with it. They're just not to the point of admitting that to other people yet.
Right. It's still maybe some shame involved with that. But those are some of the numbers from the Gallup poll. And again, it's mostly a liberal view on most moral issues. And it's really pretty astounding when you look at it. And just think about these things. Okay, where are you going to go to find out if these things are right or wrong? Well, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible, you know, does God like divorce? He says he hates it. Does he have any laws about sex outside of marriage? I think there are a few.
He says even if you look at a woman lustfully that you have sinned, not much less going through the act of fornication.
Sure. The turning upside down of the family, all these different types of relationships. Is there anything in the Bible about that? Sure there is. So, I mean, people have to look at that and say, well, do we believe the Bible or not? You know, if somebody doesn't, then why even bother? Like, why the pretense of still, you know, claiming to be religious in some fashion? Because clearly, if these numbers are right, and there's probably a little give or take, most people are going to say, well, you know, some of the stuff in the Bible's outdated. You know, you got to move on with the times. I think that's what they'd probably say. And, you know, they're all for the love and the kindness and be nice to people. But, you know, you look at these things, too. Is there a lot of love in divorce? Is there a lot of love in some of these other things that people are excited about? There isn't. So even there, that argument breaks down. But if you look at these things, who would be supporting these sorts of decisions and these sorts of moral changes? That's the Communist Party. And Mr. Armstrong warned about that years ago.
Very true. It is the Communist Party. And there's proof of that in this booklet. He was right in this chapter about communist infiltration. There was a book called The Naked Communist, and there were 45 communist goals for the ideological subversion of America in that book. And these goals were actually read in Congress in 1963, among them discrediting the family as an institution, encouraging promiscuity and easy divorce, emphasizing the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents, promoting pornography, and presenting homosexuality as normal, natural, healthy. These are all designed to advance the destruction of marriage and family, because they think that monogamous marriage is actually representative of male and white supremacy. That's also another thing that communists believe that's brought out in this chapter. So all those things that you just mentioned, where people are shifting very, very far to the left side on these moral issues, it's all a communist tactic. It may have taken a few decades for people to, in the majority, favor almost all of those immoral positions, but it has happened because people have been educated. They've been brought up from a very young age to think that all those things are okay. And Karl Marx even said, communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality instead of constituting them on a new basis. It therefore acts in contradiction to all past historical experience. That's what communism does. And so you just see people shifting. In 20 or 30 years, it's going to be far worse. It's not ever going to stop shifting unless someone intervenes, because there are no absolute truths anymore. There's nothing that is eternal and absolute except for God, which they don't even believe God exists. God says he never changes. His laws never change. These people are always changing, because that's what communism is. They're always changing. There is no absolute truth. It's just a matter of dividing people by pushing these types of hard left ideologies on them. And over time, people come to accept it, or they get crushed by the people in power.
And that's ultimately where you go with communism. You get a dictator at the top, and then you're going to be subject to his will and his whim and not any sort of law anymore. It is interesting. You're talking, too, about how, or mentioning in that book, he was right about how they want to get rid of the male leadership in the family. And, of course, we see that everywhere. There's a great book at thetrumpet.com about that. Quite a few write-ups, actually. Even today, just in checking the headlines, there was a write-up on one website. It's a very liberal site. And this woman had an opinion piece. And very, very alarming headline. No place is safe for women in 2017. There's not any place you could go. No place to be safe for women. Although I will say, within a proper marriage and family where the husband loves the wife and takes care of her, she's pretty safe there. But yeah, never mind that. So I read through the piece because I was just curious what she said. And basically, she had come out and attacked some man for saying something she didn't like. And in response to her write-up, people criticized her. You know, as is typical on the internet, some of it's a little snarky. Some of it, you know, is whatever. She got criticized. So she said, well, there's no place safe for women anymore because you can't even go on the internet and tell, you know, give your opinion without being attacked. So, but as people that even commented on that story pointed out, yeah, but you're starting it. Like, you're mad that people are expressing their opinion after you expressed your opinion. Like, that can happen. And then somebody else said, well, listen, if you want to be equal with men as you see it, then it's a man's world, right? So they take shots at each other. Who do you want to protect you? You've cast off the normal roles of men and women. Who would protect a woman if somebody said something inappropriate? Probably her husband.
Right. It's pretty obvious there that there is a system in place that God established that would make these women a lot more comfortable than they are. It's not like men are immune from all criticism, but they go out and they face the world so that the woman can stay home and in a nurturing home environment. That does make women a lot more pleasant to be around, from my experience. You know, there's a lot of commercials out now that say, like, women, we're bold, we're fierce, we can do anything a man can do. And it's like, okay, well, you're going to be unhappy your whole life, so you can keep on going and trying to achieve all these goals, somehow close the mythical gender gap and all these other things that they're fighting for, and they're going to achieve them. It's only a matter of time that they achieve whatever they're looking for, but then they'll still not be happy because they're not fulfilling the role that God gave them, which is a beautiful role. It is amazing the fact that they can raise the next generation. They can stay home and they can be protected in that environment and they can raise children God's way. It works. And yet, for some reason, they try to step out of that role, and then they get upset by what they see out there, which really the man should be confronting for them if they would just stay at home and in their role.
The further people get into this communist way of thinking and these social changes, the more unhappy they are. And the reason is because they're going away from what works. And like Abraham Lincoln said, we talked about it yesterday, history proves, and the Bible proves too, but even history, that only nations whose God is Lord are blessed. That's it. You know, there's other nations that have been around for a long time, obviously. I don't think, if you want to look at, say, between 1950 and now, would you have rather spent your time in Russia or the U.S.?
That's not even close.
Yeah, clearly. We probably wouldn't be alive if we had spent our time in Russia, because people have a habit of disappearing over there if they, have a different idea than the government has. And so we can look at that historically, but yet that people aren't concerned about this infiltration, this communist infiltration. And I mean, if you look at just these trends and some of these polls that we're talking about and what Mr. Armstrong said way back in 1956 about perverting the morals and other things like that, it's happening in the U.S. and it's happening to really across the board, but it's coming mainly and specifically from that radical left party. That's where it's coming from. And I don't think anyone can deny that. They might agree with it, but you can't deny that's where the change is coming from.
That's true. They're the ones who are comfortable with the change, as that study that you quoted brings out. The 3/4 of them are fine with all the social changes taking place. But what are they really looking for? What is their goal? I mean, is it just constant change for the rest of eternity? They have no truth, but not only that, their false beliefs are not set. They just change every single day. They have nothing to stand for except for destruction. They're just destroying whatever the status quo is, no matter how great it is, no matter how great America already is, they have to tear it down. And that's just the only thing that they can really unite around, because even within the left, they're attacking each other. Certain minorities don't agree with homosexuality, and yet homosexuality is also on the left. Homosexuality and Islam are both on the left, and yet they're diametrically opposed. All those different factions within the left are just trying to tear down the country. And once that's torn down, what happens? Do they just turn on themselves and go to war? I mean, at some point, they're going to realize everything they accomplish is for naught. They're not going to be happy with any of it. They're just always going to be in conflict with something else.
Right. Because no matter what they do, that becomes the status quo, and then you've got to fight that.
Exactly.
Right. So it never ends. One last little poll here, just looking at the changes in this country over the last few years, not many, 10 years or so, 15 years. When first asked about whether or not they agreed with certain things, when first asked about gay lesbian relations a few years ago, only 40% of the U.S. agreed with it. Now 63% do. Having a baby outside of marriage, they were asked in 2002, 45% thought it was okay. Today, 62% do. Sex between unmarried man and woman, 53% thought it was okay back then, about 2002, 69% today. Divorce, only 59% thought it was okay, now 73% do. And you can just go down the list. Massive jumps. Look at that, 15 years. Where is that coming from? Do people just have an awakening? The media is pushing it, and there's a very specific agenda. It's a communist agenda, and people are buying it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is, every one of those beliefs gets down to just rank selfishness. It's all about convenience, no-fault divorce or whatever you call those types of arrangements. It's just about, well, this marriage was convenient for me. It benefited me while it lasted. Now it's not such a pleasure anymore, and I'm going to move on to the next thing that will benefit me. You know, getting rid of children in the womb. Well, it's not convenient. I don't have money at this time. I'll just have a child later whenever I actually feel like it. All those things are very selfish, and yet it's very different from how family actually should be, where it's all about sacrifice, but yet those sacrifices are so rewarding and beautiful. If you just look at the biblical pattern for family and the way it's described as just a fruitful family that the man's in charge, the children are around the table, they're respectful, they're well-behaved, they're happy to be there. The wife is just in love with her husband and really loves raising children. It's a family unit, and it doesn't need to be fractured. It doesn't need to be torn down, and yet people are doing that because they think that any change is good change.
Yeah. And we're seeing change, rapid change. Again, this is from He Was Right. It's a free book at thetrumpet.com, looking at decades of forecasting by Herbert W. Armstrong. And this particular chapter is on the rise of communism in the United States. Just to finish up today, I'll give you this quote one more time from Herbert Armstrong, 1956. Think about the U.S. today. He says, "It's a kind of warfare we don't understand or know how to cope with. It uses every diabolical means to weaken us from within, sapping our strength, perverting our morals, sabotaging our educational system, wrecking our social structure, destroying our spiritual and religious life, weakening our industrial and economic power, demoralizing our armed forces, and finally, after such infiltration, overthrowing our government by force and violence." Read that, take a look at the world today, and see if those things have not come to pass. It's very stark reality they have. Get this free book, He Was Right, at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on Trumpet Radio Live. For myself, Dwight Falk, and for Grant Turgeon, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.